Okay, do we ever really see anything like this kind of weirdness that we're talking about? Time slowing down for moving objects and things of that sort? Turns out there is experimental evidence, a lot of it actually. And in fact, most of the high-energy machines that are built have to take into consideration these time shifts, these time dilations, in order to work properly. And even right now, we have global positioning satellites whirling above us. And because they are used to pinpoint where you are on our globe, and because the way you tell where you are on our globe depends really on what time it is, these satellites have to be adjusted continuously in order to take into consideration the time dilation effects due to relativity theory. So this is what is now part of our everyday life. Not only do we have to rethink what we mean by space and time if we're moving relative to another observer who's standing still, because we may experience a beginning event and a final event, and we may be the ones that are traveling between the beginning event and the final event. Say we're driving in a car, for example. The person who's watching us follow the same trajectory will say that the beginning event and the final event may have taken place in 5 seconds, whereas we, traveling very near the speed of light, would say it took less than a billionth of a second. So in other words, time and space change according to how you're moving. And that idea then introduced a new kind of notion. It said that if you start off at some place, travel out into space, and then come back to where you started from, you may actually travel on a path through space and time which is curved. Because after all, you went one way, then you had to turn around and come back. So you couldn't have gone on a straight line, because if you did that, you'd have to keep going. You couldn't come back to where you started from. So if you follow a curved path through space and time, and you count on your wristwatch how much time you actually spent, it turns out that you will actually have spent less time than the people at home who watched you follow this trajectory. This is now known as the twin paradox. You can imagine the following story. Two twins. One stays home. The other one goes off in a rocket ship for, say, what appears to be 4 years. This twin goes off in the rocket ship at, say, near the speed of light, then turns around and comes back, and it takes another 4 years to come back. Twin at home is now 8 years older, but the twin on the rocket ship may have only aged a couple of minutes, because traveling at such a high speed, he didn't really see himself traveling very far at all. In fact, if he had traveled at the speed of light and gone off and come back, he would be exactly the same age when he came back as he was when he started. So all these time dilation effects are very tricky. And what they lead to is that time and space are seemingly inseparable, and that the notion of what is the right amount of time depends on how you move, and that there is no absolute measure of space and time. So even though we say something is this long, a moving observer might see it having a different length. And even though we say it took that long, a moving observer would have a different experience of how much time that took. Now, I would imagine it's pretty difficult for you to imagine all this stuff. Double imagining here. So I'm going to ask you to think of the following situation. Suppose you walk from one end of the room in which you're sitting to the other. Now, let's say you try to walk in a straight line, say from east to west. Now, suppose that you walk in a direction perpendicular to the line you just made, south to north, in your, say, the room you're sitting in. I'm sure you can imagine that you have just walked off two legs of a right triangle, for you could walk back to your starting point by taking the diagonal path from where you are now standing. In this case, both the legs you walked off of form the right triangle, and in this case, both of them are real and they exist in space. Now I want you to imagine that you are in a very strange room. We're going into the twilight zone again, folks. I want you to imagine now that the distance you walk going east and west are ordinary space distances. Okay, no problem there. But suppose the distances you walk going north and south correspond to time, not distance. Thus, when you walk north, you are going forward in time, but nowhere in space. And if you walk south, you are going backward in time, but again, not moving in space. I'm sure you realize that no matter how fast you made the walk, you not only moved through space, you also move through time. But just imagine that you are as in control of time as you are of space. Your room would be a kind of a time machine. Whenever you walk north, time would advance. Whenever you walk south, time would go backward. Whenever you walk east or west, you would go through space, but not move in time. Only when you walked off diagonal distances, say northeast or southwest, or northwest or southeast, would you move through space and time together. If you now imagine walking off a right triangle, so that the distance you go east and west is one leg of that triangle, and the time you spend walking north and south is the other leg of that triangle, you have some idea of what a space-time triangle looks like. Now, what's the difference between the two? The answer is that in a space triangle, since both legs of the triangle are real, in the space-time triangle, one of the legs is imaginary. And that means, as I told you before, it's the time that is the imaginary dimension of space. Strange as it may seem, the mathematical relationship between the legs of the space-time triangle is exactly the same as in the geometry of the space triangle. The only difference is that the triangle being measured has one leg in imaginary space, which we call time, and the other in real space. So all this is very weird, and trying to imagine it, that you have this kind of power to move through space without moving through time, or to move through time without moving through space, may seem strange. But actually, if you think about it, right now, you are sitting in a chair, probably, somewhere. Maybe you are in your apartment building, or maybe you are in your home, or maybe you are driving your car. As far as you're concerned, you are standing still relative to your immediate environment, and time is ticking off. So right now, by sitting still, you are moving through time. How fast are you going? You're going at the speed of light through time. Whoa, yeah, that's what you're doing. You're actually going through time at the speed of light, and that's what it feels like. Now when you walk off into space, you're moving through space. So when you move through space and time, then you're walking off on a diagonal. And the slower you go, the closer your diagonal is to the timeline, so to speak. So you're moving more in time and less in space. The faster you go, the more you start to move through space more than you do through time. Now, what happens if you're going at infinite speed? When you're going at infinite speed, you're not going through time at all. You're only moving through space. Now, that seems very strange, only moving through space. But what's even stranger is that in quantum physics, that's what we have going on all the time. These things, these waves that I told you about earlier, these waves of possibility are all moving through space at infinite speed most of the time. And in fact, that's what makes quantum mechanics so interesting. Because when things move at infinite speed, it means they're at several places at the same time. And when they're at several places at the same time, it means that things are happening all at once everywhere. And that's called non-locality. And non-locality is also a very weird idea. It almost seems crazy, but it means that things are connected even though they don't seem to be connected. And quantum mechanics, quantum physics, tells us that we are connected in ways that go faster than the speed of light to all things in the universe. And the job is to see just how those connections affect our everyday life. There's a lot more to be told here about space and time, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how we can use the time bending and space warping effects to talk about how a black hole gets constructed and how wormholes get constructed. And we're going to see how those, in effect, lead to a new kind of time machine. That's coming up.
This concludes Session 5. Our program continues with Session 6, Sex, Magic, and the Shamanic World, with Fred Allen Wolf.